Hi, this is Tony at Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to Tanya Joffe, the CEO and Principal Officer of Uno Health. Tanya, it's Friday afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for chatting to me on a Friday afternoon, Tony. Great to be
here. Absolutely. And Tanya, I'm very excited to talk to you because, you know, I've long been sort of somebody who keeps on asking, where are we going with healthcare funding? How do we help people with their healthcare challenges, et cetera? It's not just about funding, it's about the whole thing of health. And it was interesting for me to see how you guys are looking at it and how you're trying to make a difference, especially in a certain market. So maybe to start off with just your thoughts on the state of healthcare funding and healthcare in South Africa.
It is a big challenge, and it's quite multifaceted. It's a complex challenge. When we looked at it, what struck us was that you have in South Africa 9 million people that have access to private healthcare, privately funded, which constitutes, so the CMS report tells us in 2022, those 9 million people spent about 205 billion rand on healthcare. That excludes their out-of-pocket expenses. They spent another 38 billion out-of-pocket. So typically those co-pays or benefits that are not covered, et cetera, or when savings are exhausted. Then you have the remaining 50 million people in this country that rely on state-funded healthcare, which is, it also actually entails a fairly significant private co-fund because it's a subsidized system that determines at point of care the extent to which the service is entirely free or not. And in many instances, it's not entirely free. There is a copay as well. So that grouping, so 50 million people are co-paying around 11.8 billion, and the government, or in totality, we're spending about 260 billion there. So we're spending well over 8% of GDP, which is what the WHO, the World Health Organization, recommends as an appropriate healthcare spend. But I think it's a bit of a blunt instrument because it doesn't take into account the size of your GDP. It also doesn't take into account the disease burden that you're catering to. And we know there's a correlation between poverty and increased disease burden. So the funding is insufficient, the resources are insufficient, and as a result, we have the disease burden that we carry, not only in South Africa, but sub-Saharan South Africa. Mm. And that actually drew us to this vertical. That was one of the factors that drew us to this vertical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes absolute sense. You know, the big challenge is there's such a big gap between private healthcare and government-provided healthcare that it becomes an issue. If government healthcare was up to scratch, then it would have been a different story. Okay, so now we get to UNU, and as you say, that's based on that backdrop. So tell us a little bit about UNU and what is your mission and sort of your elevator pitch.
Sure. Maybe just before I get to that, I just want to comment on your last comment. So while the demand overwhelms the public health care service system, for sure, and it is not fully enabled, there's no doubt about that. There are absolute superheroes working in that space. And I just don't want, you know, for us to paint that entire space with one brush. So, for example, we visited quite a few clinics. And when you go to those clinics, those nurses are doing the best they can. Not all of them, of course, but many of them. They have to run their own inventories in their room. They have paper records. Often they can't find the records of the patient. They then also tell us that more and more patients are coming in with health complaints that they actually can't support because they're related to mental well-being. So they are incredibly constrained in their capacity to deliver quality service to people as and when they need it. The second thing I just want to say as well is that generally, it's interesting, healthcare is not entirely patient-centered. Mm. So it doesn't really empower people to own their well-being. Yeah. Whether you're on private medical aid or you're using public healthcare, people are not empowered to make quality choices. So there's a lot of waste in the private healthcare space. You know, tests that are really duplications or shouldn't have been run. And if people were more empowered to support their own well-being journey, you'd probably have what the little the resource we do have go a lot further in serving a lot more people. So that's why I said I think it's quite multifaceted. But then to get to UNU, so that is actually one of the cornerstones of UNU, is to say, how do we support patient-centered healthcare? How do we give people ownership of their medical records? How do we empower people to navigate the healthcare system, to find the right healthcare as and when they need it? So the second component then is tech. How do you leverage tech the same way that you do in the banking world? So UNU was formed within Standard Bank. It actually emerged out of the insurance innovation space 3 years ago. We looked at three different various verticals, but mobility, education, healthcare. We were drawn to healthcare because of the fact that there is such demand that is currently not being met. Mm. And we said, as the largest Pan-African bank, how can we play a role? And that is effectively how we then established UNU Health. We decided we would develop a health tech platform that orchestrates patient-centered access to quality healthcare. We would then curate the right partners. So we would go into the market and find partners that can support quality care, and we would simply play a curator role focused heavily on patient. So how do you give patient at the right price, at the right time, access to quality care? How do you leverage technology? How do you leverage partners? So even in our licensing, the UNU Health is not a separate legal entity. It is it operates from within Standard Bank, but it is not. It licenses all the medical risk and all the partners through its partners. So it's quite an interesting model. So that's the one component. The other component of how it arose is that I personally have always been customer facing. We chatted earlier. I started out in the restaurant trade in my student days, and that is a If you're not customer capable, you're not going to walk home with much money in your pocket. And then from there, I've literally entered the call center industry, started working in the call centers, worked my way up, and then ran the APSA call centers. And realized that if you empower frontline people, they really can make a difference in how customers experience your service, experience value, et cetera. And so that is sort of part of who I am. And in the healthcare industry, it was interesting for me how often the power lay with the clinician, just alone, the data set, the lingo, patients struggle. And so bringing those two together, it was a great opportunity. And that's how UNU was born, really.
So UNU is not a medical aid, or is it a medical aid?
No, it is a health tech business that has a number of products. So one product that we have are medical insurance plans, and those are Standard Bank co-branded. So we've leveraged the Standard Bank brand. We've leveraged Genric as the carrier and National Healthcare Group as the administrator. And we've curated three health plans that we market B2B through brokers. And then what we've just launched now this week is an as-you-go healthcare service, whereby you download the app from the App Store, any of the three app stores. You then access, you create a profile, and then you access primary healthcare, like seeing a doctor as and when you need it. So because some people like the idea of a health plan, so if they can't afford a medical aid, a hospital plan, or otherwise a medical insurance plan. But there are a lot of people that actually just want to be able to see a doctor affordably and conveniently from their phone as and when they need to. And so that's what we've just launched as well.
Okay. And how do people pay for it?
So you literally on the app. So you pay, you download, you create a profile, you say, you tell us, I'm not feeling well. You click the I want medical help. It then gives you options of I can either see a nurse for 95 Rand, I can see a doctor for 179 Rand, or I can see a doctor in person with Intercare for 499. You then say continue, because what we like to do is with the tech, we check. If you've selected an online doctor, let's just make sure that an online doctor is appropriate, because we don't want to take 179 Rand from you and then still end up referring you to a physical doctor or even an emergency. So we then run a triage. It's an amazing piece of technology, Informedica. And we just check, is an online doctor appropriate based on your symptoms? And if it is, we then refer you to a payment portal, credit card, debit card, or Capitec Pay. You make the payment and you go straight into the queue to see a doctor within 5 minutes.
And that 179 example that you've used, is that what you pay?
That's what you pay.
Okay. Now, that's not bad, especially in the market that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Well, we think, so it's interesting, our market, what's been so interesting is on the medical insurance plans, we offer online nurse consults and then doctor consults. And what we found is when a company puts its employees on it, you find the execs also love it. And the reason they love it is the convenience. They have busy schedules. And if they can speak to a doctor online and get the script that they need online, they're happy, you know. So it's the convenience. So you, it's quite a broad, it's relevant to a broad part of the market.
Mm-hmm. And just on that, in terms of a segment of a socioeconomic segment, which segment are you targeting?
So initially, we were very much about the market that cannot afford medical aid. So the 50 million people in South Africa and sub-Saharan Africa. So we're live in Mozambique, and we're actually just busy launching in Uganda, which is why Neil couldn't join me today. So we're focusing on the people that cannot afford medical aid to give them the benefit of private healthcare out of pocket, but private healthcare that's affordable. So you need to work with technology to drive costs down, drive access up, then also work with formularies so you can deliver low-cost formularies. And I'll give you an example on that front. I used our medical insurance when I had tonsillitis, and I asked the Clicks pharmacist, what was the value of the medication you just gave me? And she said, 160 Rand. My son then had the same, you know, also had tonsillitis on the Sunday. I took him on the Sunday, and his medication was 1100 Rand. And it was just simply because the active ingredients that we both received was identical, but it was just formulated in different brands and in different products. The price variation in medicines, it's quite staggering, actually, when you look at it.
Yeah. I'll tell you afterwards about my experience with that. But so to distribute in that market, that segment, how do you do that? What is your model?
So we've got, so in the B2B space, we work heavily with brokers. And so that's the go-to market on the medical insurance. And then on the as-you-go, so on our sort of pay-as-you-go service, we're going direct to consumer. We will also be bundling it into some of the propositions within Standard Bank. And then very exciting, we are in pilot mode with a big retailer to test whether that is an appropriate go-to-market strategy. Because when we did research, that the customer base of that retailer, I mean, the response rate was 3.5 times what they'd seen in any other kind of research that was product CVP related. So there's huge demand. So there are a number of sort of routes to market, but and I mean, we're open. So we're wanting to really try and reach as many people as possible, because scale empowers us to do better global deals in terms of the technology, in terms of the partnerships, et cetera. So as we scale, we also bring costs down. So it's a reciprocal
on the whole
value model. Mm.
And just in closing then, so far your experience and feedback on the product and so on, how's it been?
So the response on the as you go, and I mean, we literally launched this week, has been very much like your response. I can see a doctor for 179 Rand with Intercare. That is amazing. I can do it from my phone in 5 minutes, and I don't pay a higher rate on Saturday or on Sunday. That is fantastic. So we've had a very positive response to As You Go. From an employer perspective, what we see is that affordability is, our economy is tough at the moment, and employers are struggling with affordability. Even though our health plan started 165 Rand, where you have trauma benefits, so emergency private hospital benefit, as well as some basic primary healthcare, employers are struggling to make healthcare benefits available broadly to people earning below 30,000 Rand. That's typically where you see the break in medical aid. And so in that space, what we're hoping is that we can develop a bit of an innovative model where we say to brokers, take the as-you-go product into an employer, and then allow the employer for us to offer their health schemes voluntary, because we also need to educate the market that actually you can see a doctor online. You can do, so for example, on our app, you can check your blood pressure. The technology is remarkable. It does a subdermal imaging of your volumetric changes in blood flow, and it'll give you a clinically accurate blood pressure after a 50-second scan. So, and soon we'll have glucose, and then we'll basically have the two leading non-communicable diseases from a screening perspective available on a zero-rated app for free. So then most South Africans, and especially those that can't afford medical aid, that sort of more blue-collar worker, or that they can then access the app, they can do that screening, and then they can choose to get onto a medical insurance plan if they want, or consume as-you-go healthcare.
Mm.
So that's the route to market. Is we'd love to collaborate more strongly with brokers, both on as-you-go as well as on the medical insurance, to really just support South Africans. 1 in 3 adults are hypertensive and don't know it.
Mm. Because, I mean, you're probably going to find that you'll be doing a lot of almost education through this, where people are going to understand a lot more about their healthcare needs than previously, you know, where you relied on going to the doctor and you couldn't just get advice. You had to actually go and see the doctor. So hopefully that will also change people's own understanding of their healthcare needs.
Yeah, I think we've got a big job to do from an education perspective to help people appreciate that they can assume greater agency in terms of their well-being journey. They can actually screen on an app. They can choose to see a doctor within 5 minutes. What we also do is, because of that AI that we have, the triage, if it is an emergency, we will route you to a nurse for free just to quickly chat to you and get you to the right emergency point, because you may think it's fine for me to just go and see a doctor, but we may pick up that, in fact, this is an emergency. So we do proper risk stratification in terms of the triage to get you to the right point of care. But the technology is, I mean, in places like Brazil, 30% of the market are using telemedicine and digital healthcare. So we're a little bit of a laggard in terms of adoption. COVID, in a way, stimulated it, and also from a regulatory perspective, started enabling the space. But we could be doing so much more if we just created more awareness and understanding amongst people that actually, the same way you do banking from your phone, you can do healthcare from your phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would like that, but yeah.
Well, Tony, hop onto the app. Download it from the Play Store if you're on Android, or otherwise, App Store.
Mm.
And let us know what you think. I mean, you know, you do a face scan, you get a health profile, you get a health score. So it is empowering, we hope, and we will obviously build on that.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that, and I'll let you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Tanya. It was great chatting to you, and yeah, good luck with the growth over the next couple of months. It's going to be a big learning curve, I suppose, for you guys as well. Always is after a launch. So yeah, enjoy the ride.
Thank you. Yeah, we absolutely will. And hang on tight, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony.